So with our Bibles open to Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, today we're going to continue our study through the 10, as in our study of the 10 commandments, picking up with the 7th. The 7th commandment uses the word adultery, which we don't hear very much these days, do we? But as awkward as today's discussion may be, it is one that we need to have. Oh, I thought I saw you raise your hand. This message will focus on three pertinent questions. What does adultery mean? Why did God give this command? And is it still relevant in 2024? I'm going to answer these questions by looking to what the Bible says about adultery. Remember that God is unchanging, and His Word is unchanging. So Exodus 20, verse 14, right in the middle of the Ten Commandments, He says, "You shall not commit adultery." Well, what does it mean? The dictionary defines adultery as voluntary physical consummation between a married person and a person who is not his or her spouse. We should understand by now that God wouldn't have included this as a commandment unless He saw that there was a need to do so. There were likely several reasons for giving this commandment. We'll consider a couple of the most likely ones as revealed in Scripture. So why did God give it? First, as a new nation being formed to represent God to the cultures, the people around them, their behavior and actions were to be a reflection of the God they served. You see, God is a faithful God. He keeps His word, and He keeps His covenants. He chose Israel to be His people in a very special relationship, an intimate relationship that people of the surrounding cultures did not enjoy with the gods that they served. The God of the Hebrew people loved His people, and He wanted love in return from them. He yearned to be in their presence, and in a broad sense, they were to be spiritual lovers, God and His people, as described in the Song of Solomon in the Bible. Thus, the command to not commit adultery was to be practiced within the marital covenant between the husband and the wife, because it modeled the relationship between God and His people. It was a witness to the whole world of the commitment between God and His people. Therefore, when the Jewish people pursued other gods, God the Father considered it to be an act of spiritual infidelity and a deep betrayal of the relationship that they had with Him. It was spiritual adultery. He was offended at their defilement and their disregard of the covenant that He made with them, and it hurt Him deeply. Yes, God has feelings. Another reason for the commandment goes deeper still. God also knew that as they moved away from Him and began to worship other gods, let's just call it cheating, it would bring destruction and pain and hurt upon them. They would walk out from under His covering and have nothing or no one to shield them from the ravages of their enemies. And of course, that is precisely what we saw happen to Israel. In Ezekiel 39, verse 23, and there's many other verses that speak to this. I just chose this one this morning. "And the heathen shall know," that is the people whose God was not the God of Israel, And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity. Primarily, it was the iniquity of worshiping false gods, which was spiritual infidelity. Because they trespassed against me, that is, they broke God's law. Therefore, I hid my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. So he gave the seventh commandment ultimately to also protect them. They needed to know in the first instance that he was their God, he was their lover. And when they committed infidelity with other gods, it was an affront to him. He says, do not commit adultery. You're offending me. You're breaking the covenant that I've made with you. And in the second aspect, he says, and by the way, when you go and worship other false gods, you move out from under my covering. And what happens is going to happen because of your sin. And because God was very serious about the importance of this commandment, the punishment was serious. In Deuteronomy 22, verse 22, here's the consequence of adultery. If a man is found lying with a woman married to a husband, then both of them shall die. The man that lay with the woman and the woman, so you shall put away the evil from Israel. Adultery is the complete corruption of God's good intention for creating marriage. Through the sin of adultery, Satan tempts us to seek fulfillment in avenues other than the one God has ordained, and that being a monogamous marriage between one man and one woman. And adultery doesn't just affect the other partner. It rips at the fabric of society because it tears apart marriages and families, which are the building blocks of society. And children and parents and siblings, churches, friends are all affected by the selfish act. Don't ever think that your sin doesn't affect somebody. And that's why Satan works so hard at enticing unfaithfulness in marriage. So far we've answered the first two questions out of three that I began with. What is adultery and why did God give the commandment? I listed a couple of the reasons. And now we come to the third question, which has the most application in today's culture. Is the seventh commandment still relevant? Does it matter still? To answer this question, of course, we go to the New Testament to see what Jesus has to say about it. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 28. Now I realize that we have some kids in the sanctuary today, and I assure you that I'm going to be careful in the words that I choose and be mindful of that. So if your heart is beating rapidly right now, I'm not going to force you to have a conversation you weren't prepared to have just yet. Matthew 5, 27 through 28. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. That's what we just read in Exodus 20. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Wow. So regarding the seventh commandment, people generally felt pretty good about obeying the letter of the law. I haven't committed adultery. I'm good. I got the seventh one down. Especially the chief priests and the Pharisees, and pretty much everyone else who patted themselves on the back for obeying the seventh commandment outwardly. But Jesus has always revealed the heart of God behind the law. He did it time and time again. When he says, I've come to fulfill the law, that's what he's talking about, a proper interpretation of the law. He implies the questions. What are the thoughts that one is keeping? Is it okay to have lustful thoughts towards another person who is not your spouse as long as you don't cross the line? And by the way, this verse is not just for men. Its application is also for women. Lust is a universal problem. It doesn't have favorites. It's a problem with all of us. It's a part of the human condition. Notice that Jesus didn't cancel the law or even say that it no longer mattered. The seventh commandment. It doesn't matter. In fact, he did just the opposite. He indicated that not only was it still relevant, but it went even deeper than one supposed. Jesus wanted to address the poison and dangers of lust, because lust ultimately is an issue of a sinful heart. And if it remains in the heart unchecked for long enough, it will poison it, bringing destruction to relationships and ultimately taking one away from God's manifest presence, as all unrepentant sin does. The psalmist tells us that. You will not hear my prayers if I cherish sin in my heart, if I regard it. What is lust? According to Baker's Bible Dictionary, lust is a strong craving or desire, often of a carnal nature, for something or somebody. In Scripture, the word is never used in a positive context, never. But rather, it is always seen in a negative light. So let me ask you this morning, is it okay to look as long as you don't touch? It may be okay in a candy store, but not in marriage or anywhere else. Whatever we fix our mind on, our brains will figure out a way to get it. You can count on it. Even if we shouldn't have it. If we are looking lustfully at others or things, sooner or later the sin in our flesh will figure out a way to get it. Our brain is incredibly adept at acquiring those things that it thinks upon. And that's why we need to be so careful with what we let into our minds. And Jesus knows this. If we set our hearts on the things of this world, sooner or later we will gravitate to those things and they will pull us away from God. And it breaks his heart. When it comes to infidelity, cheating often begins first in the heart. The first step taken on the path to the forbidden zone begins in our thoughts. If one allows those thoughts to just run wild and not gated up and put in check. Therefore, Jesus equates looking lustfully at another person that's besides your spouse, your married partner, to be the same as actually committing the sin. I want you to know, though, that lust is not the root of all adultery. That's not what Jesus is saying here. Adultery can occur for many reasons, actually unrelated to lust. Yet that doesn't excuse the act. It is still sin and often committed with eyes wide open. Nevertheless, lust can be a very powerful agent of the sin of adultery. Therefore, Jesus addresses it. Now, I want to switch gears for just a second. If you're single, are you exempt from this command, as Jesus puts it? What do you think? Nope. Again, the central focus of Jesus' commandment is lust. That's the main topic here. And while the seventh commandment itself pertains to married people, Jesus' interpretation of the intent of the law is directed at all people. Think of it this way. How many of us can close our eyes and picture the door handle of a door? You can do that, right? I just installed a bunch of them at my house. A door handle. Well, lust is the knob on the door to fulfilling the cravings of our flesh. And when we turn that handle and the door swings wide open, we think we're going into a play area. Sure is fun. And for the moment, it may feel fun and exciting. But this is a play area where Satan is just swinging on the swing, waiting until you step into the sandbox with him. Oh, good to see you. I was hoping for your arrival. So Jesus is not only presenting an interpretation of the command, but a warning. Don't even put your hand on the handle. The Apostle Paul said in Colossians, what is the Colossians scripture? Is it 3? Yeah, Colossians 3, 5 through 7, or 2 through 7. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth and the things that are going on this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived them. But if you're a believer now, these things shouldn't be in our life. God's desire for us is purity. He is holy. And he says to us in 1 Peter 1:16, "For it is written, be holy, because I am holy." Our bodies, if we are saved, are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We are to glorify God in our bodies. Why? Because God is old-fashioned? He just didn't play that anymore? Man, God made sexual fulfillment. God invented it. And when the confines of a marriage, it is beautiful, it is holy, it is undefiled. It is right. And God delights in his children to not only procreate, but to have fun procreating, to enjoy the process. So God is not old-fashioned, because he knows that his ways lead to life, and disobedience leads to death, frustration, anxiety, and fears. And whether we live 2,000 years ago or today, his word never changes. So I want to bring all of this home for our remaining time. You may be asking, when exactly am I lusting, and when am I just looking? Everybody wants to know the rules, right? Everybody wants to, how does the machine work? Like, what? Like, where's do not touch, and where is it okay? For a practical standard, when the look involves even a fleeting and momentary fantasy involving the other person, it becomes lust. It doesn't have to be long. Or maybe applying the 3-second rule helps. You know, we have one when you drop food on the ground, right? 1, 2, 3, it's okay to eat. There's like hair sticking on it and, you know, rocks. Oh, it's okay. Maybe a 3-second rule. If you're still looking at someone or a body part of a person after 3 seconds, then you have your hand on that door handle we just talked about. 3 seconds. I think it's a good place to start. The good news is that when we catch ourselves or the Holy Spirit gently reminding us of the dangerous ground that we're on or we're heading to or what we just did, we repent. Like this. Oops. Okay, Lord, I know you saw my heart. You saw my eyes. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And begin working at keeping our eyes holy. It's a practice. It's something we need to practice. Begin to train the eyes and to keep our thoughts off of debased things. And with enough time, there will be less and less of slip-ups. This is if we want to walk in purity. I mean, if you care about these things, then we have to practice them. We got to work at them. They don't come naturally. Even in the book of Job, Job says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look on any young girls. Not talking about kids. He's talking about young, attractive, like teenagers. You know, back in the they got married back then, really young. So I had to make a covenant with my eyes to not slip up. So let me ask you this morning, is lust really all that bad? I mean, it's everywhere, right? It's on our commercials, it's in our movies, it's at our schools, at our work. Everybody's lusting. They seem to be okay, don't they? Seems harmless. I will not venture deeply into the subject of adult content. We have kids in here. This morning, but it is an epidemic in our world and even in the church. The church statistics for use of adult content is just as high as it is in the world. The destruction that lust has brought through the mechanism of adult content is staggering in scope. From families to marriages to innocent lives ruined, its use has brought a living hell to many. And lust is the fuel of this epidemic. And yes, the use of adult content can fall under the prohibition of the 7th commandment, because Jesus says, whoever lusts after another is breaking God's law. And whether that person is a computer image, a magazine ad, a commercial, a movie actress, or an actor or a radio star, lust is lust. And please understand that God desires us to walk in godliness, to pursue Him in love, and to love others. Lusting is not love. Lust takes. It is selfish. It defiles the imagination and reduces another human being made in God's image to a mere object, something to satisfy the carnal cravings of one's own flesh. Lust is the antithesis of love, which is selfless and esteems another person's worth greater than one's own. Love is compassionate. Love is kind. Love suffers long. Let me share something with you about the effects of rampant lust in our culture. Human trafficking statistics reveal a very sad reality of our world, and particularly in this nation. And behind every statistic is a person, someone's mother, father, brother, sister, child. These statistics provide insight into the severity of the issue. Do we have that slide? Might be a little hard to read. Today, there are 49.6 million people in modern slavery worldwide. 12 million of them are children, according to the United Nations reports. 54% of those trapped in modern slavery, 54% are women and girls. Human trafficking is the most common type of trafficking in the United States, right below drug trafficking. And child trafficking has been reported in all 50 U.S. states. Do we have that? Can you see this? There's our area up there. The East Coast is rampant. Florida, Texas, Alabama, Louisiana, California. All of those represent people, and many of them children. Human trafficking is a $150 billion industry, according to UNICEF. So do we wonder why God gave the seventh commandment and Jesus drilled down on it? Unchecked lust is the doorway to destruction. There may be a lot of people going through the door on our commercials we watch, the movies we watch. Wow, seems like everybody's kind of okay with it, going through that door of lust. In fact, so many, as we watch those, we might be tempted to think that it's okay if everyone is doing it. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. That should be sobering this morning. Like all the commandments, God knows what disobedience to the commands bring. The transgressing or breaking of His law ultimately results in destruction, devastation, and death for the person who does it perpetually and without repentance, for the wages of sin or death. So let it not be named among God's people lust, because lust is never satisfied with just looking, because sin is never satisfied with just a little. Sin always wants more and more. You can burn down a forest with a little match just as you can with a heavy blowtorch. If we have been weak in self-control with our eyes, it is probable that we will be weak when the opportunity presents itself to cross the line. But lest we feel condemned for our bad choices, the Bible tells us that we need not be if we repent. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brothers and sisters, there is only one unforgivable sin, and that is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And because adultery can be forgiven by God, it can also be forgiven by a spouse if there is true repentance. Though adultery is one of the biblical exemptions or exceptions for divorce, it does not have to necessitate divorce. There can still be healing in Christ Jesus especially through counseling and prayer. And though trust has been broken when a spouse commits adultery, trust can be earned back in time. And whether it is an addiction to internet trappings of adult content or literal adultery, the sin can be forgiven and restoration of the marriage fracture can occur if both people are committed to the marriage. God would prefer healing and reconciliation rather than divorce. His grace is available even for adultery. It may require some very hard work and lots of tears. But God can heal any marriage if both people are willing to work at it. I know of many couples who have walked through the dark valley of infidelity, but by God's mercy, His grace, and forgiveness, now have incredible marriages. But they had to be willing to let Jesus heal them. I had a friend, they're still friends of mine, both of them, the husband and wife. Many years ago, their marriage was having some trouble. And the wife was missing the intimacy, not necessarily physical, but just that the closeness that the marriage covenant is to bring between spouses. Missing that, she was lonely and she went out and she had an affair. To complicate matters even worse, she became pregnant in that affair. In the course of that time, her husband came to know Jesus. Though he was a baby Christian, he was still committed to the marriage and willing to forgive her if she was willing to come back to the marriage. And they began counseling, they began prayer. She ended up having that baby. And he became a father to that baby, and he loved that child as if it were one of his own. They grew together in the church, and then through prayer, through Christ Jesus, they grew together. One day, that little baby, was now a little girl, developed a hole in her heart. And she died. And it broke his heart as much as hers. But God was able to heal him. God was able to step in because they were committed to the marriage. They were committed to Christ Jesus. And today they have many kids. And they serve Jesus in the church. And they have a beautiful, healthy marriage. That is a symbol to all that Jesus can heal anything, even infidelity. God took Israel back despite her infidelity. She is still the people of God, His beloved bride. And though the church has betrayed Jesus, her groom-to-be, countless times, the betrothal still remains intact, and Jesus is still coming for the church that He loves to take her home to His Father when the Father tells Him it's time. So is the seventh commandment still relevant? Absolutely. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the reminder today to check our hearts, to check our eyes, to walk in purity, to lead in the relationships that we're in, to walk in purity in those relationships, because we know, God, that it's better when we obey You and do what You tell us to do than to choose our own path. Father, perhaps there have been some marriages in here, Lord. People have been hurt deeply by the infidelity of their partner. God, we pray for healing. We pray for Your grace. We pray for forgiveness. Lord, for some in here, it may have happened years and years and years and years ago, yet You still carry the pain that one action caused. Lord, I pray by the blood of Jesus that You would help them forgive today. God, some have addictions that they can't seem to break. Lord, I pray for grace to break every addiction, to break every ungodly habit and pattern that has been formed over the years through our eyes that have looked at the wrong things. Father, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over every eyeball in this room, every heart, every mind. I pray for the grace to turn our eyes from wicked things and to walk in holiness. Lord, we love you. And we surrender all to you, God. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for being merciful to us, even when we don't deserve it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. And before you go, I wanted to just